Okay. Finance and admin, Finance and Administration Subcommittee, Ferndale City Council is now in session. All members are present. I am going to make a suggestion that if everybody did their homework and diligently reviewed the claims runs, that if there's no items of contention, we move that forward to the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
He's still got a budget.
Okay, budget amendment, make it quick.
Maybe you should come in late.
I had all these notes. Almost worked for nothing.
Good call, Paul.
No.
We're done claims.
They just established a feeling of trust for you.
Yeah, I'd rather you look at the numbers.
We all reviewed them over the weekend and.
Chair's warm.
Who's been sitting here? Keith.
Keith.
Sam here? No, Keith is there.
Hot seat.
Hot seat.
Fine.
Budget amendment.
It doesn't look big enough.
Budget amendment? Doesn't look big enough.
No, I fixed it.
No, you didn't.
Is that it?
So it's online, too.
All right, so let me take you through, I can make copies, but.
Hey, Mark, sorry, this portion's correct, right? It's just the spreadsheet.
Well, the two go together.
But I think the spreadsheet just doesn't print out correctly with PDF, that we have to.
You're right.
It's on the G drive.
So fix the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I can just kind of take a, show the spreadsheet, I'll take you through what's there, and then there's a couple of problems.
Oh, is there a, oh.
It's in the.
Let's get you the real one.
Okay.
It'll be easier for everyone to see it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't.
I know.
Finish the process.
The big thing about this budget amendment is the Pioneer Pavilion, council authorized the bid, and so it's, puts that budget in place for the revenue coming from two sources. REIT one, for a smaller part, and then squeezed $100,000 out of solid waste to fund the mostly sprinklers at the Pioneer Pavilion.
Squeeze the golden goose once again.
The magic slush fund.
I thought we had two. It's a strong fund.
This is the golden goose, the garbage goose.
Okay.
The garbage goose.
Very good. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
The first item on the general fund is Ferndale Arts Commission received a donation from Wapakoneta Community Foundation, plus some other donations for the Cherry Blossom Festival, so there's almost $6,000 in donations. So we upped the revenues and expenditures for the Ferndale Arts Commission. Second item there, there's $100,000 coming out of the solid waste fund for the pavilion. Thirdly, the street fund, we approved the demolition, the asbestos abatement demolition of the little house on the corner of Washington Vista. Total came in at $65,500, so this brings some additional TBD money into the street fund to take care of that total bid of $65,500. The house removal. Two very small adjustments to revenue.
That includes the asbestos?
Correct. Two small adjustments to the criminal justice 107 and the bond debt service fund 218. I didn't notice, nor did you. I had an ending cash balance of negative dollars last time, which is not good. So this just brings it into balance. Silly me, but you didn't see it either. Stop trusting so much.
Oh, that's their fault.
Yeah. Lastly, a couple items. Taking money out of the REIT 1 fund, $64,527 again for the Pioneer Pavilion. And then I need another $2,500 for the library. We had a few final expenses on the library. Now, we are going to get a rebate for a natural gas company, about $3,000 for the high energy efficiency stuff that Greg put into the library. So the money hasn't come in yet, so I need another $2,500 from REIT 1, but I'll return that to REIT 1, whatever's left, probably in May. Pioneer Pavilion, we talked about it, and that last item on the libraries, another $2,500 last minute expenditures. One was for an old bill, wasn't it, Greg? Landscaping.
Yeah, it was landscaping. We'd added to and taken away from the landscaping bill, but there were some plants we added in at the very beginning. It was $500, whatever it was. But that was just omitted. That was kind of fell between the cracks. So DeWild finally
sent it to us. Four trees for
DeWild. The other 2 grand.
What's that?
What's the other 2 grand?
Other 2 grand was a little bit more than that, but it was the very, very last payment to the contractor, to Faber. It was like, it was their very last.
Oh, after you got done with all the arguing and wheeling and dealing?
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Change orders and compromise discussions. Yeah. So that's it on the budget amendment.
I move the adoption of the budget amendment on consent.
Agreed. Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you. Sorry about the confusion on that.
Consent?
Spreadsheet will fix that.
Consent, yes. Contract addendum, public defender indigenous defense enhancements. That sounds really important.
This is really basic, actually. So if you recall, we mentioned a few times throughout the years that the ACLU had sued Burlington over indigent defense, over proper defense for folks who can't afford their own attorneys.
Yeah,
and really the argument...
That too, didn't they?
Yeah, the argument was, they paid a lot of money. The argument was that they just had so many people in our court system and not enough attorneys to really provide an adequate defense. And they lost, and they're paying out the nose for it. And so Dan Parsons, our public defender, is a really great guy. He has worked really hard to keep up on these, on what the requirements are. Basically what occurred was the Washington State Courts basically came up with some parameters of what needs to be required to ensure that we are complying with what previous courts have now ruled about indigent defense. And Dan's done a good job. He's kept in contact with us on what he thinks we do or don't need to do. And as he's been reworking his contracts with some of the other small cities as well, and said, here's some language that would make sure, I think, that we comply with that requirement. The biggest aspect of this, and this is kind of tiny, is, but basically he needs to have the ability to assign a secondary attorney when they feel like we need additional assistance with those who need public defender. And the other aspect is just simply saying he will perform this stuff consistent with these new rules. And so a very clean amendment to the contract. It just allows us to really make sure we don't run afoul of the ACLU, to be honest. And this is something that our risk manager has really been advocating and encouraging people to work on as well, our risk pool. So we recommend approval on consent.
Mr. Chairman.
I make a motion to approve and put it on consent.
Second. Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
Who oversees his billing to make sure that it's being what it is and not abused?
Greg, do you review those billings?
No.
Court administrator?
Yeah, the court administrator and the judge would be the... More the court administrator.
So Shirley?
Yeah.
She looks over.
Do we have anything like that in place that she looks at it and makes sure what he's billing is not out of line?
She does review the bill.
She does review it. Yeah.
It's hourly rate.
I know. If we're going to have something like that, we should have something in place to ensure that there's no abuses.
Sure.
And somebody should be signing off, so in case it comes out later that... And I'm not saying he is or right. somebody, anybody would be overbilling. Somebody's held responsible.
Legitimate question to ask, surely.
Yeah, great
question. I will say, I think when we review our legal costs versus the other small cities, they're not out of line. So I don't know that we've ever had that concern.
I've seen him on that case before.
Yeah.
He's an honorable guy, but these are just in general, refer onto him.
I think the case was referenced on the invoice, each one of them.
They are. I just recently, I did look through them recently. I was doing a records request, and I was looking through all of them. So he references all the cases and all the stuff, and anytime we have a secondary attorney, we get an invoice from them, too, and so I've seen all those recently.
I'd just like to see some safeguards. If you can find out the answer to it, not, then that's something for the council.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Good question.
Been moved and seconded? All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Appointment, Parks, Recreation, Trails Advisory Board, Jack Hughes. The name sounds familiar, but I can't place his face.
He moved back to Ferndale a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You see him, he rides his bike, and then he has a King Cavalier Charles puppy
that runs alongside him, and he's always, he lives right near the parks. He lives on the condos on the end of Cherry Street and 3rd. He approached me and he said, I really like parks. Could I do anything more? It's like, well, yeah, I happen to. Yeah. I'm still going on the objective that the whole parks board hasn't quit en masse. In fact, I'm having dinner tomorrow night with Rob Nordhaus to go, hey, let's just drop this mass quit idea.
Especially if you got a new member that should get.
Well, yeah, and Rob needs to understand it. We totally support what they're doing. We're not going to do anything with parks. If it passes the voters, we're not going to do anything that they don't recommend. I mean, we'd be stupid. These guys have done a ton of work, and we have to acknowledge them for that. I wouldn't vote for anything that wasn't run through them ever. Yeah. So,
if all of you quit when you get what you want, the room would be empty. Greg would be twiddling his thumbs by himself.
I vote for approval on this, Jack, on me.
Second.
Consent.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Welcome, Jack. Yes, sir.
Auditors have been here about 3 weeks. They left the building.
Did they take office with them?
Favorable result.
They leave the towels.
No filing, no findings, and no management letter.
Good.
Thank you.
Expect. Thank you.
We'll schedule an exit interview in May. Okay.
I wanted to mention, for the library, there is a lingering issue with the ADA powered exterior door. I think some of you may be aware of it. The issue is that because we built the building so tight, and because we have the winds we have, and because of the shape of the building, there is a very unique atmospheric situation
it's
happening.
Called a vacuum.
And they don't want to keep the windows open inside so they can open the door. So the issue is, if they increase, I should back up a little bit. There is an American with Disabilities Act requirement for how much power a power door can open with. It can't be less than a certain amount, and it can't be more.
Exactly.
And you can certainly understand why it wouldn't want to be more than a certain amount.
Like Lincoln fishing.
So given
it's like a tennis backhand.
So given that sweet spot of opening power, the doors won't open. So they're trying to figure out the solution, but unfortunately, I don't think there is a solution for the current double opening doors. There's a sensor they can put in there, but the sensor would have to be manually reset. The issue right now is sometimes a door won't close and they can't lock it at night. So that's one of the bigger issues that they're facing. So
there is a solution, but it's not cheap.
Right. Well, we may be replacing the door with a single slider door. Hmm. Like you see at Walgreens when you go in there. It won't be a double opening because we have the L of the building, so
right.
It wouldn't, though. So maybe one that just would go in one direction.
The other solution is on the north doors, okay, up above them, make those small windows openable. That way you break that vacuum.
Yeah.
Right, right. But the issue is just not the vacuum. It's also the yeah, once the wind there. Catches the door, it tends to, which offsets it, which throws it off, and the reset button is behind. Anyway, so we're trying to give the contractor and the subcontractor and our architect a chance to work through, and they have been. They've been trying to work through some solutions. We've yet to come up with anything real definitive, so that may be the
just disconnect those doors entirely and hire some little kid to stand there and open
and close it.
John just said a greeter, a light
greeter.
Yeah.
Great
job.
Yep. You need to do something, though, guys.
Most likely, there would be hours to.
If they can't engineer it properly, and that's what we paid them to do, then why aren't we holding them accountable?
It was something that realistically could not have been envisioned, I guess, from the standpoint of the unique, the way the building is positioned and the wind tunnel effect.
But it only happens when the wind is, I can understand that, but I'm not hearing that that's the case.
Knowing me the way I do, I'm going to be suggesting to the architect and the contractor that there be some sort of cost-sharing arrangement.
Consider something like that rather than us just eating it because that's easiest.
Exactly. They've spent a long time working, sending the guys up, trying to get it figured out. But yeah, at some point you do have to say, well, you were the designers, and obviously there was a design issue. And I'm not hesitant to bring those things up.
And more thrown on you because the construction manager isn't going to help you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really his fault.
So then, yeah, but then carrying that forward with Mike not being here anymore, with the police station, we've been working for the past year or more trying to get the carpet replaced. And we've been making some slow but glacial progress. Supposedly the carpet has been manufactured and it is on the way to us. Now we have to get Linden Flooring to actually come in and physically do the replacement. It's not a real profitable job for them. The manufacturer is paying for the replacement, but obviously you don't get the profit on a warranty job that you do on a brand new installation.
That's why they call it warranty.
Yeah, so that's something that I'm taking back over and going to follow through, if only for Mike, just to be sure, because he and I had kidded around that I asked him, I said, well, do you think in our lifetimes we'll actually get the new carpet installed? And in hindsight, it was a kind of a very ironic comment.
If you start looking, though, that's the new trend in commercial buildings is the squares.
The carpet squares.
Because you replace, you just have to replace the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. If you start looking, you notice that everyone's...
Oh, yeah, once you get the stains, you pull it up, you plop down a brand new one, because they give you a replacement package. And I think I may have mentioned this before, we have an issue up at the police station with moisture and pH in the underlying concrete slab, not unlike, but under different circumstances, but not unlike what we had at the library. The good news is that we've worked through the library issues before, so we know that there's a sealer you can put down, we know that there's an alternative adhesive that you could use, a few thousand dollars, whatever that might be. We're currently are waiting the testing results. They actually bore into the concrete and test for moisture and pH. So we should be getting those results back rather soon. And that'll drive our decision on the sealer and the adhesive. And then once the carpet shows up and once Linden Flooring Design is willing to come and take it, because the old carpet is going to be donated to some nonprofit organization that's interested in it. So
are we going to set a deadline for the door? Because... I mean, it's propped open when the doors, when the library is open, the door has
right.
to stay propped
stay
open.
Propped open.
So mosquito season will be here
soon.
Oh,
gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's open the whole time.
They are running out of options to explore, given the last email chain between the subcontractor, the contractor, and the architect, and even Sarah, our librarian, has chimed in that we need a solution. So I'm going to be pushing them to get something done.
Somebody on work release.
Yeah.
Anything else? Otherwise, we'll adjourn.
Thank you.